Hello everyone, this is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is January 27th, 2023, or it's the 16th day of Shabbat, 2027. This will start our third service on this seventh day Sabbath. Calvary covers it all. Forgiven all that the world can impart was the message that came through my heart. Now that Yahshua alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past and the sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Yahshua took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that He bore and the thorns that He wore tell His mercy and love that worth more. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on His name, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past, the sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Yahshua took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grave, when I looked in the face of this Yahshua my crucified God. My redemption complete, I've been found at His feet, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past, the sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Yahshua took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all. How blessed the thought that my soul by Him bore shall be His in the glory on high. For with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past, the sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Yahshua took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all.
With the name of our sermon, The Plan of the Redemption, chapter 4, and it's called The Fall of Man. This is taken from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 63. It says, The fall of man filled all heaven with the sorrow. For the world that the Yahweh had made was blighted with the curse of sin and inhabited by the beings doomed to misery and death. there appeared no escape for those who had transgressed the law. For the angels ceased their songs of the promise. Throughout the heavenly courts, there was mourning for the ruin that sin had wrought. For the Son of Yahweh, heaven's glorious commander, was touched with the pity for the fallen race. His heart was moved with the infinite compassion as the woes of the lost world rose up before him. But divine love had conceived a plan whereby man might be redeemed. For the broken law of the Yahweh demanded the life of the sinner. In all the universe, there was but one who could, in the behalf of man, sanctify or satisfy his claim. Since the divine law is as sacred as Yahweh himself, only one equal with the Yahweh could make the atonement for the transgression. Okay, so it's only one equal with the Yahweh. Okay. None but the Yahshua could redeem fallen man. Okay, let's do this again. For only the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, could redeem the fallen man from the curse of the law and bring him again into the harmony with the heaven. For the Yahshua would take upon himself the guilt and shame of sin that was so offensive unto a holy Yahweh that it must separate the Father and His Son. For Yahshua would reach unto the depths of the misery for the rescuing of the ruined race. Okay. Before the Father, He pleaded in the sinner's behalf, while the host of the heaven awaited the result with an intensity of the interest that words cannot express. Long continued was that mysterious communing with the Council of Peace. For the fallen sons of men, for the plan of the salvation had been laid before the creation of the earth. For the Yahshua is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yet it was a struggle even with the King of the universe to yield up his Son to die for the guilty race. Verily, the Yahweh so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, the mystery of the redemption, for the love of the Yahweh, for a world that did not love Him. Let's do that again. For the love of the Yahshua, for a world that did not love Him. And we know that when Yahshua came and made His self-presence well known, that He was rejected by His own. So then they caused everybody else to, almost everybody else to reject Him. Who can know the depths of that love that passes the knowledge? through the endless ages with the immortal minds, seeking for the comprehending of the mystery of that incomprehensible love, will wonder and adore. For the Yahweh was to be manifest in His Son Yahshua by the reconciling of the world unto Himself. For the man had become so degraded by the sin. Let's do that again. For the man had become so degraded by his sin. Let's do that again. For the man had become so degraded by the original sin of Adam and Eve, because it was passed on to him, down on everybody that was created in this world, that it was impossible for him and himself to come into the harmony with him whose nature is purity and goodness. Really, the Yahshua, after having redeemed man from the condemnation of the law, could impart the divine power for the uniting with the human effort, thus by the repentance toward Yahweh and faith in Yahshua, the fallen children of the Adam might once more become sons of the Yahweh. For the plan by which alone man's salvation could be secured involved all heaven and its infinite sacrifice. Let's read that again. For the plan of the salvation through the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, by which alone man's salvation could be secured, involved all of the heaven and its infinite sacrifice. For the angels could not rejoice as Yahshua opened before them the plan of the redemption, for they saw that the man's salvation must cost the loved commander unutterable woe. In the grief and wonder they listened unto his word as he told them how he must descend from the heavens purity and peace, its joy and glory, and immortal love, and come into contact with the degradation of the earth, for the enduring of his soul, shame, and death. He is to stand between the sinner and the penalty. Let's do that again. For he is to stand between the sinner and the penalty of the law. Yet few would receive him as the son of the Yahweh. For he would leave his high position as the majesty of the heaven, appear upon the earth, and humble himself as a man, and by his own experience become acquainted with the sorrows and temptations which the man would have to endure. All this would be necessary in the order that he might be able for to secure them that should be tempted. When his mission as a teacher should be ended, he must be delivered into the hands of the wicked men and be subjected unto every insult and torture that the Satan could inspire them to inflict, for he must die the cruelest of the death, lifted up between the heavens and the earth as a guilty sinner. He must pass long hours of the agony so terrible that the angels could not look upon it, but would veil their faces from the sun. He must endure anguish of the soul with the hiding of his father's face, while the guilt of the transgression with the weight of the sins of the whole world is being put upon him. For the angels prostrate themselves at the feet of their commander and offered to become a sacrifice for man. But an angel's life could not pay the debt. Only he who created man had the power for the redeeming him, yet the angels were to have a part to act in the plan of the redemption. For Yahshua is being made as a little lower than the angels for the suffering of the dead, as he should take of the human nature upon him with his strength, for his strength would not be equal unto theirs, and they were to minister unto him to strengthen and soothe him under his suffering, or actually with his sufferings, for they were also to be a ministering spirit sent forth for the ministering for them who should be heirs of the salvation. They would guard the subjects of the grace from the power of the evil angels and from the darkness constantly thrown around them by the Satan. When the angels should witness the agony and humiliation of their Savior, their King, Yahshua, they would be filled with the grief and indignation and would wish to deliver him from his murderers, but they were not to interpose in the order for the prevention of anything that they should behold, for it is a part of the plan of the redemption that the Yahshua should suffer the scorn and abuse of the wicked men, and he consented unto all this when he became the Redeemer of man. For Yahshua assured that the angels that by his death he would ransom many and would destroy him who had the power of death. Okay. And he would recover the kingdom which man had lost by the transgression. Let's go back and do that paragraph again. For the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, is with the assurance of the angels that by his death he would ransom many from the old covenant from Adam down to the cross. Not all. It's only those that had followed the plan of the salvation of the brother of the everlasting covenant of the Old Testament, the animal sacrifice, using it for their blood as a proxy in the place of Yahshua's blood of the Old Testament. That's the many that he's going to ransom. And that's all he ransomed by his death on the cross. He didn't ransom anybody that was living that put him to death. He only ransomed them after they put him to death, and they recognized it, and they repented of their sins, and then by his blood of the new and living way, he ransomed those that hung him on the cross. Only if they repented and confessed. But that many that he ransomed was only those of the old covenant. It says so right there in Hebrews 10:14. It says, for by one sacrifice he had perfected forever those that were sanctified. out of the old covenant. Okay, for the Asher assured the angel that they, by his death, he would ransom many, all those whose names are found written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, from Adam clear down to the cross to his crucifixion, and would destroy him who had the power of the death. So it took Yahshua's his death on the cross then to have the power and authority to destroy Satan and those evil angels after he resurrected. For he would recover the kingdom which the man had lost by the transgression, and the redeemed were to inherit it with him and dwell therein forever. For the sin and sinners would be blotted out nevermore, to for the disturbing of the peace of the heaven or earth. For he bade the angels host to be in the accord with the plan that his Father had accepted, and rejoiced that through his death, fallen man could be reconciled unto the Yahweh. That's Romans 5, 9 to 11. Then those inexpressible joy filled heaven, for the glory and the blessedness of a world redeemed outmeasured even the anguish and sacrifice of the Prince of the Life. Through the celestial courts echoed the first strains of that song which was to ring out above the hills of the Bethlehem. Glory unto the Yahweh in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. With a deeper gladness now than in the rapture of the new creation, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of Yahweh shouted for joy. Who was the morning stars? Go to Genesis chapter 37. You'll find out that Jacob's 12 sons represented those morning stars in heaven. Okay. Glory to Yah. This is with a deeper gladness now than in the rapture of the new creation, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of Yahweh shouted for the joy. Unto man, the first intimation of the redemption was communicated, and the sentence pronounced upon the Satan and the garden. For the Yahshua declared, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. For this sentence uttered in the hearing of our first parents was to them as a promise, or was to them for a promise, while it foretold war between man and Satan. It declared that the power of the great adversary would finally be broken. Well, actually, the seed that comes to this woman is the seed of Abraham, the house of David, and the 12th parabolic hour. This is the kingdom of heaven that's going to finally subdue Satan's kingdom here on earth. Well, it says so there in Daniel 7, 18 to 22. He said, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom, to take away his dominion, to consume and destroy it, and to the end. Daniel 7, 22 to 27. Okay, while it foretold war between man and Satan, it declared that the power of the great adversary would finally be broken, for Adam and Eve stood as the criminals before the righteous judge awaiting the sentence which the transgression had incurred. But before they heard of the life of the toil and sorrow which must be their portion, or of the decree that they must return unto the dust, they listened unto the words that could not fail to give them hope. They, though they must suffer from the power of their mighty foe, they could look forward unto the final victory. When the Satan heard that enmity should exist between himself and the woman, and between his seed and her seed, he knew that his work of the depraving human nature would be interrupted, that by some means man would be unable to resist his power. Well, we have been raised up in this 12th hour as the house of David, of the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, with Yahshua coming and sitting upon the throne of David now, in this 12th periodic hour. This is what interrupts Satan during the end time. We interrupt his work because he's wanting to come and kill the 144,000. We're going to interrupt that. Yahshua has come to interrupt it, and he's going to redeem the 144,000. And Satan is going to lose that battle again. He's trying to do right now is to destroy the 144,000. So this is what we call the kingdom of heaven coming down here in these last days, of Daniel 2:44-45. In the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed or left to other people, but it shall stand forever. This is the everlasting kingdom of heaven that's come down with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David. And he's the one that interrupts Satan's work here in this 12th periodic hour that we're in right now, using his right arm, which he calls his power, right arm of power. And he says he uses that there in Joel chapter 2 as his great army. In Jeremiah 51:19-20, he says, "You are my battle axe and weapons of war, and with thee will I thresh the nation." And he's going to break the power of Satan with this battle axe, which is represented by the everlasting kingdom of David that we are in the process of raising up right now in this 12th periodic hour. All of these things are going to take place here in this 12th periodic hour. All right. Yet, as the plan of salvation was more fully unfolded, Satan rejoiced with his angel that having caused man's fall, he could bring down the Son of Yahweh from his exalted position. For he declared that his plans had thus far been successful upon the earth, and that when the Yahshua should take upon himself human nature, he also might be overcome, and thus the redemption of the fallen race might be prevented. For the heavenly angels more fully opened unto our first parents about the plan that had been devised for their salvation. For the Adam and his companion Eve were assured that notwithstanding about their great sin, for they were not to be abandoned for the control of the Satan, or unto the control of the Satan, for the Son of Yahweh had offered to atone with his own life for their transgression. for a period of a probation would be granted them, and through the repentance and faith in Yahshua, they might again become the children of Yahweh. For the sacrifice demanded by their transgression revealed unto Adam and Eve the sacred character of the law of Yahweh, and they saw, as they had never seen before, the guilt of the sin and its dark result. In their remorse and anguish, they pleaded that the penalty might not fall upon him whose love had been the source of all their joy, rather let it descend upon them and their posterity. For they were told that since the law of Yahweh is the foundation of his government in the heaven as well as upon the earth, even the life of an angel could not be accepted as a sacrifice for his transgression, not one of his precepts could be abrogated or changed to meet man in his fallen condition, but the Son of Yahweh, who had created man, could make an atonement for him, as the Adam's transgression had brought wretchedness and death, so the sacrifice of Yahshua would bring life and immortality. Not only man, but the earth had, by the sin, come under the power of the wicked one and was to be restored, and is, let's put it in the present tense, and is to be restored by the plan of the redemption at his creation, where the Adam is placed in the dominion over the earth. But by the yielding unto the temptation, he was brought under the power of the Satan, of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. When man became Satan's captive, the dominion which he held passed unto his conqueror. Thus Satan became the god of this world. Wow! He had usurped that dominion over the earth which had been originally given unto Adam, but the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, by his great sacrifice, is with the pain for the penalty of the sin, or of these sins, would not only redeem man, let's do that again. Verily, the Yahshua, by his great sacrifice for the pain, for the penalty of the sin of the transgression by the Adam and Eve that's passed on unto fallen man, would not only redeem man, okay, but recover the dominion which he had forfeited. All that was lost by the first Adam will be restored by the second Adam. And that second Adam is Yahshua. And that second Adam appeared 2,000 years ago and was crucified. Okay? So now this second Adam, it says, said it, for the prophet is with the explaining about the tower, for he says, O tower of the flock, that's as the stronghold of the daughter of the Zion, unto thee shall it come even the first dominion. Who's the daughter of the Zion? This is Micah 4. Verse 8, that's what it's talking about. Okay, it says, O tower of the flock, of the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. The stronghold of the daughter of Zion here in the 12th hour, it's Mount Zion at the 12th hour, is the house, is the kingdom of David that Yahshua is sitting upon the throne of. And we have the prophecy in Isaiah 9, 6 through 8 that talks about this prophecy for Yahshua. And Luke 1, 32 and 33 comes in here and sits upon the throne of his earthly father David, it says. Says the Father in heaven has given unto his son Yahshua his earth, the throne of his earthly father David here. Okay. This is the tower of the flock, as the stronghold of the daughter of the Mount Zion, the 12th hour. Mount Zion, number unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The first dominion is Adam. So Adam and all of his people in the first dominion, the righteous, are going to be resurrected, and they're going to be brought, and they're going to sit down right here in this kingdom. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it says right there in Matthew 8:11, that's exactly what it says. And then we'll turn to it right quick. And we'll read that. It says, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and this last 12th parabolic hour of probationary time, and shall sit down with the Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Daniel 2:44 and 45. That uses the same language. And the days of these kings, these ten toed image, these ten kings, that's in the 12th parabolic hour, shall the kingdom of heaven be set up. So it says, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with the Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of the heaven. But the children of their kingdom, the Seventh-day Adventists in the 12th parabolic hour, they're the only children of the kingdom that's talking about, shall be cast out into outer darkness. This shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Okay. Let's go back now to our reading. It says, and the Apostle Paul points forward unto the redemption of the purchased possession. We're on page 67, Patriarchs and Prophets. For the Yahweh created the earth to be the abode of the holy, happy being. For the Yahweh formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. That for that purpose will be fulfilled when renewed by the power of Yahweh. And these last days here in this 12th parabolic hour for its beginning, and freed from the sin, and that takes place also in this 12th parabolic hour, and so it shall become the eternal abode of the redeemed. The redeemed is a past tense adverb, and so now you're going to go and read the best verses you can read for that. Is Revelation 5, 9 to 11. We're going to go read that right now, if we can get to it. Okay. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed, past tense adverb, us unto the Father Yahweh by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It don't get no better than that, folks. see? It says, for the righteous, we're going to continue our reading, 67, for the righteous shall inherit the land and shall dwell therein forever. What does it mean? I thought we were going to go to heaven for 1,000 years. And this earth is going to pass away. Well, we are. Okay. Because we go to heaven for 1,000 years. We come back from heaven. Yahweh with his Son creates the new heavens and the new earth. And what happens? Those that inherited the land before they went to heaven, they come back and take up their possession at the end of the millennium. It's just said that the land enjoyed her Sabbath for 1,000 years. Okay. Okay, it says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Adam and his innocence had enjoyed open communion with his Maker, but sin brought the separation between the Yahweh and man. And the atonement of the Yahshua alone could span the abyss. Okay. Now this is something else. Yahshua does not. The only way you can say he makes the atonement is that he goes before the Father on the Day of Atonement, and he has to take the prayers with incense from off the altar of everybody that had prayed for remission of their sins previously, and he has to take those prayers with the incense from off the altar, and he has to, the incense is a cloud that stands between him and the Father, and he said those, that incense goes up with the prayers. Okay. So when you think about the three wise men that came to see Yahshua at his birth, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay. So it says, but sin brought the separation between the Yahweh and man, and the atonement with the blood of Yahshua's blood and the incense from off the altar alone could span the abyss and make possible the communication of the blessing or salvation from the heaven onto the earth. Man was still cut off from the direct approach unto his Creator, but the Yahweh would communicate with him through the Yahshua and angels. This will reveal unto Adam the important events in the history of the mankind, from the time when the divine sentence was pronounced in the Eden until the flood and onward to the first advent of the Son of the Yahweh. He was shown that while the sacrifice of Yahshua would be all sufficient, would be of the sufficient value for the saving of the whole world, for the many would choose a life of the sin rather than of the repentance and obedience unto the plan of the salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, that Satan also rejected. It was offered to Satan when Yahshua resurrected. Why, he said right there in John 12:31, he says, now is salvation come, now the judgment of this world come. And it says there, John 12, now let's look at it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It says 12:32, maybe 31. It says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world. Let's read a little earlier, John chapter 12, verse. It says, verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify the name, or thy name, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from the heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. For the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke unto him. But Yahshua answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince Satan, Lucifer, of this world be cast out. Cast out of where? Cast out of the church, purified. For when Yahshua resurrected, first Passover and Pentecost, purifies that church of the apostles and their members. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, all those that are sanctified and purified, then I will draw them all unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. For the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Yahshua abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Yahshua said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. For you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Yahshua and departed and did hide himself from them. Now in John 11:9, as we turn back a couple of pages, it says, now John 11:9, Yahshua answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, the complete 12 hours, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Okay. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Now do you understand why all of these ministries that came on the scene from 1844 on, the priest was only 11 hours in a day, and they, when it comes to the 12th hour, they thought it was night. They thought the darkness had come on the world. And so they couldn't see nothing, because they just thought there's only 11 hours in a day. Well, all those ministers that taught the 11 hours, they're all dead and gone, and they died ahead of their time, and they didn't fulfill any of these latter-day prophecies that is to be fulfilled in the 12th hour while you still have the light. Okay. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of the sleep. Then said his disciples, Master, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Yahshua spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Yahshua unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there unto the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Okay. Now we're going to go back to our reading, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 67. Let's finish that up. It says, this will reveal unto Adam important events in the history of the mankind. From the time when the divine sentence was pronounced in Eden unto the flood, and onward unto the first advent of the Son of Yahweh, he was shown that while the sacrifice of Yahshua would be of the sufficient value for the saving of the whole world, many would choose a life of the sin rather than of the repentance and obedience. So how was his sacrifice sufficient for the saving of the whole world? Because everybody left the living after his death in the New Testament, all they had to do was call on the ever-living Yahshua that never died again. All they had to do is repent and confess him and call upon him for the remission of their sins by his blood, and they would save anybody that did this. Anybody in the whole world, everybody. If everybody would accept it. Okay, for the crime would increase through the successive generation, and the curse of sin would rest more and more heavily upon the human race, upon the beast, and upon the earth, for the days of man would be shortened by his own course of sin, for he would deteriorate in the physical stature and endurance, and in the moral and intellectual power, until the world would be filled with the misery of every type. Through the indulgence of the appetite and passion, men would become incapable of the appreciating the great path, truths of the plan of the redemption. Yet, Yahshua, let's do that again. Through the indulgence of the appetite and passion, men would become incapable of the appreciating the great truth about the plan of the redemption through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. Yet Yahshua, true unto the purpose for which he left heaven, would continue his interest in men and still invite them for the hiding of their weakness and deficiencies in him. For he would supply the needs of all who would come unto him in the faith in his blood, and there would ever be a few, who would preserve the knowledge of Yahweh and would remain unsullied amid the prevailing iniquity. Okay. For the sacrificial offerings were ordained by the Yahweh to be to man as a perpetual reminder and a penitential acknowledgement of his sin and a confession of his faith in the promised Redeemer. They were intended for the impression upon the fallen race of the solemn truth that it was sin that caused death. Unto Adam, the offering of the first sacrifice was a most painful ceremony, for his hand must be raised to take life, which only Yahweh could give. It was the first time he had ever witnessed death, and he knew that had he been obedient unto Yahweh, there would have been no death of man or beast. As he slew the innocent victim, he trembled at the thought that his sin must shed the blood of the spotless Lamb of Yahweh. For this sin gave him a deeper and a more vivid sense of the greatness of his transgression, which nothing but the death of the Yahweh's dear Son could expiate, and he marveled at the infinite goodness that would give such a ransom for the saving of the guilty. For a star of the hope illumined of the dark and terrible future and relieved it of its utter desolation. But the plan of the redemption had a yet broader and deeper purpose than the salvation of man. It was not for this alone that the Yahshua came to the earth. It was not merely that the inhabitants of this little world might regard the law of Yahweh as it should be regarded, but it was to vindicate the character of the Yahweh before the universe. For this result of his great sacrifice, by its influence upon the intelligences of the other world as well as upon man, with the Savior looking forward when just before his crucifixion, he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me." For the act of Yahshua and the dying for the salvation of man would not only make the heaven accessible unto man, but before all the universe, it would justify Yahweh and his Son in the dealing with the rebellion of the Satan, for it would establish the perpetuity of the law of the Yahweh and would reveal the nature and the results of sin. From the first, the great controversy had been upon the law of the Yahweh. Satan had sought to prove that Yahweh was unjust, that his law was faulty, and that the good of the universe required it to be changed. And the attacking of the law, he aimed to overthrow the authority of its author. And the controversy, it was to be shown whether the divine statutes were defective and subject to change, or perfect and immutable. When the Satan was thrust out of heaven, he determined to make the earth his kingdom. When he tempted and overcame Adam and Eve, he thought that he had gained possession of this world, because, said he, "They have chosen me as a ruler." "They have chosen me as a ruler," for he claimed that it was impossible that the forgiveness should be granted to the sinner, and therefore the fallen race were his rightful subjects, and the world was his. But Yahweh gave his own dear Son, one equal with himself, to bear the penalty of the transgression, and thus he provided for a way by which they might be restored. Is that word restored? Please pay attention to that, because to his favor, that they might be restored in the 12th parabolic hour, when they're resurrected, here in the kingdom of heaven, I sit here on earth, as thou sitting upon the throne of heaven, of this kingdom, here right here in the 12th parabolic hour, probationary time still going on. This is when they might be restored at this time to his favor and brought back and to their Eden home. When they're resurrected here in the 12th hour, we read a while ago, Micah 4:8, even the first dominion comes to the daughter of Zion, which we're the daughter of Zion in the 12th hour. Yahshua undertook for the redeeming man and for the rescuing of the world from the grasp of the Satan, for the great controversy begun in the heaven, is to be decided in the very world on the very same field that Satan claimed as his. And that is to be done right here in this 12th third body jar that we're in right now. For it was the moral of all the universe that the Yahshua should humble himself for the sake of the fallen man, that he who had passed from star to star, from world to world, superintending all by his providence, supplying the needs of every order of the being in his vast creation, that he should consent for the leaving his glory and for the taking upon himself of the human nature, is a mystery that the sinless intelligences of the other world desire to understand. When the Yahshua came into our world in the form of humanity, all were intensely interested in the following him as he traversed step by step of the blood-stained path from the manger to Calvary. For the heaven marked the insult and mockery that he received, and knew that it was at the Satan's instigation, for they marked the work of the counter agencies going forward, for the Satan constantly pressing darkness, sorrow, and suffering upon the race, and Yahshua counteracting it. They watched the battle between the light and darkness as it was stronger, and as Yahshua, in his expiring agony upon the cross, cried out, "It is finished!" For a shout of the triumph rang through every world and through heaven itself. For the great contest that had been so long and the progress in this world was now decided here in this 12th periodic hour of the probationary time. That's the only time it can be decided to finish out this 6,000 years of misery of this earth. The triumph of Yahshua with this restoration of his everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of his earthly father David, Luke 1:32-33. And Yahshua was the conqueror, for his death had answered the question whether the Father and the Son had sufficient love for the man for the exercise of the self-denial and the spirit of the sacrifice. For the Satan had revealed his true character as a liar and as a murderer, for it was seen that the very same spirit with which he had ruled the children of men who were under his power, for he would have manifested, if permitted, to control the intelligences of the heaven with one voice, the loyal universe united in the extolling of the divine administration. If the law could be changed, man might have been saved without the sacrifice of Yahshua. But the fact that it was necessary for the Yahshua, for the giving of his life, for the fallen race, proved that the law of the sanctuary, Leviticus 23:1-44, which is your ceremonial system of the Yahweh, will not release the sinner from his claims upon him. For it is demonstrated that the wages of the sin is death. That's Romans 6:23. But the gift of the Yahweh is eternal life. It says through Yahshua. Okay. When Yahshua died, the destruction of the Satan was made certain. But if the law was abolished at the cross, as many claim, then the agony and the death of the Yahweh's dear Son were endured only to give to Satan just what he asked. Then the prince of the evil triumphed his charges against divine judgment were sustained, for the very fact that Yahshua bore the penalty of the man's transgression is a mighty argument unto all the created intelligences that the law is changeless, that Yahweh is righteous, and that Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is righteous, merciful, and self-denying, and that the infinite justice and mercy unite in the administration of his government. This brings the end of chapter 4. This brings the end of our fifth. This hour contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with this hour.